Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
How you doing, friend?
I'm doing really nice. Thank you.
I am not happy with how that came out of my mouth.
Yeah?
I am of the opinion that it sounded like I was sarcastically asking you that question.
Didn't take it like that.
Insincerely.
I did not take it like that.
I'm worried that the audience would take it that way.
Mm.
Because I was, since I actually did want to know how you were doing.
Yeah.
But I think what the audience—
And I genuinely told you that I was doing, what did I say, good, great, something like that.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Sure. Well, I think we've solved the mystery of whether or not you were being sincere.
Okay. I'm going to try again.
Okay.
In a more sincere voice, because I think it's a problem I have. Sometimes people think I sound insincere. So I'm going to try it again. I'm sincerely interested in how you do it. Okay? It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
How are you, Jordan?
I'm doing good. I just got a threepence.
Sure.
And I'm going to give it to the boot black.
All right, all right.
I will not. If you want to do a Cockney accent,
yeah,
I will also pretend to be in foggy London town, but I'm not going to affect my voice at all. I'll
right.
just say English stuff.
Well, but what type of Englishman are you? Are you a fancy Englishman or a Cockney like myself?
I consider myself just a man of the crown.
Oh, really?
I'm not from one.
A man of the crown.
Yeah, a man of the crown.
A crownsman?
Yeah. Well, a queensman.
Oh, got it. Okay.
That's the crown I'm talking about.
Sure.
Not nuts about the king's crown, but right. the queen's.
Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous.
Ooh la la. Ooh la la. I'm just going to keep my voice the same. But if you want to, you know, do a little imagination play like we're in England,
uh-huh.
I can go with that. But I'm just not going to do a different voice.
Okay. This is what's throwing me right now. I was in Disneyland a couple of days ago. And I met what I think was Mary Poppins and her chimney sweep friend, Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah. Bert, I think, is the character's
Bert,
name.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. I spent 4 days trying to remember what Dick Van Dyke was called and Mary Poppins had failed.
It's a jolly holiday with you, Bert. That's how you remember. You sing the song.
You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. And people say that my Cockney accent is great.
Well, I mean, it's a more of a Queen's woman's accent.
Sure, yeah.
Because you were there, you were singing Mary Poppins' part.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, you could play pretty much anything that Julie Andrews has done.
Sure. And high school, too. I can also play high school.
I know. I know. You did... you were in that live Sound of Music, right?
Yeah, at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, I thought it was on ABC.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's true. I'm Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
Is that who was in that?
Sure, why not? Michelle Williams?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure who that
Anyways,
is.
Anyways, however, whatever way you slice it, 50-year-old gay guys love me.
Yeah. You know, they have the characters.
Yeah.
Or as my son calls them, correctors.
Mm-hmm.
He's completely insistent on calling them correctors.
Sure.
No, we don't want to correct him because that would be mean. But for a while, we would say characters the proper way whenever he would say correctors.
Mm-hmm.
And then he never changed and it's really fun.
Yeah.
And we figure it's not going to have serious consequences until at least kindergarten.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we met Mary Poppins and Bert. But Bert was – so number one, it's a little weird because these are characters with real faces.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like
– No, someone's not wearing a Julie Andrews felt head.
Yeah. But I mean like
– And just gesturing really broadly.
What's weird about it is like Dick Van Dyke is very particular looking.
Sure.
I mean he really looks like Dick Van Dyke.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a major celebrity. And Julie Andrews, you know, like there's more stuff in a Mary Poppins outfit.
Yeah. But I guess with the Bert character, you have the advantage of soot.
Yeah.
So any part of your body that doesn't look like Dick Van Dyke's, you just put soot on. That's why I have soot all over my penis. It's because I just don't want anyone to be disappointed that it's dissimilar from Dick Van Dyke's.
Did that information come out in some sort of trial, Jordan?
Yeah.
So Here's the thing. So, okay, so that's the number one issue. Like, if it's Winnie the Pooh, they're wearing that big head, you know?
Sure.
Or if it's one of the princesses from whatever, if it's Cinderella, that's, it's a real woman, but she's supposed to look like a cartoon lady.
Sure.
So you can't just be – they're incomparable enough that you don't have to do that much to make them look right.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not sure that it was Mary Poppins and Bert.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also why it could have just been some people there for, you know, one of those special days like Bat Day or whatever.
Oh, yeah. You think it could have just been some steampunk people.
Yeah. But then, okay. So then the other thing is.
You know, Jesse.
Yeah.
I don't. Boy, this is a big lesson.
Right.
And this is, oh, boy, it's always tough to tell a child, but. Well, I mean, Mary Poppins and Bert can't be everywhere at once. So I think what who you met were some of their helpers.
Oh. They got helpers?
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot to do. You know, they have to go into cartoon worlds and feed the birds and, you know,
tuppence
deal with – yeah, tuppence and deal with women's suffrage.
And they got to address those penguins.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they do that in the cartoon world, I was
– They got to deal with Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yeah, yeah, sure. The Incredible Mr. Limpet as well.
Condor Man.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think who you met, it was two of their representatives.
Is it possible that it was Condor Man?
I mean, I don't know who you met.
Okay.
Could have been Condor Man.
Could it have been Captain America from the 70s Captain America movie?
Unlikely, but I mean it could have been.
So here's – okay. So okay. Here was my concern because Disneyland is all about verisimilitude.
Sure.
Not authenticity. It's all about the progression of the simulacrum.
And collecting pins.
But it
is – And putting them onto a denim jacket.
Right. But verisimilitude, it's just like the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Dick Van Dyke – And Mary Poppins, as we all know, talks with a nearly perfect Cockney accent.
Sure.
You know, we know, he's known for his voice work.
Yeah, yeah.
And this guy talked like he was the King of England.
Mm. He got the region wrong.
Yeah, so he's supposed to be saying like – he's supposed to be – it's a jolly old day with Mary.
Mm-hmm.
You know how he does in the movie?
Yeah.
And he was like, it's a jolly holiday with Mary.
Mm.
And it really was disturbing to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's
it
and
could
also,
have just been some steampunk guy, though.
Sure. It's hard to say at Disneyland these days who is a licensed character and who is just a weirdo.
The main thing to know is none of the licensed characters are the people on Rascals.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like that's a one distance. That takes out 35% of the people at Disneyland.
Sure.
So if you're not – if they're on a Rascal, they're definitely not a licensed character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's introduce our guest.
I'd love to.
Our guest, of course, is the number one New York Times best-selling author of Big Magic, among numerous other books. She's best friends with Oprah. She literally murdered Gail.
Wow. Are we going to dig into that? Is this going to be like Serial but for Gail's murder?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't even know Gail's dead. Oprah doesn't know yet.
Yeah. Wow.
Oprah thinks that she and Gail are estranged and that's why Gail's not returning her text messages.
Yeah.
But actually
she's
what
Gail's at a cabin where she gets bad reception.
Is Liz has spent the last 4 years scheming on how to become Oprah's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally did it. She finally murdered Gail.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if maybe
that was the only thing standing in my way.
Well, to be fair, Deepak Chopra is there in the way, too. So you got to get rid of Chopra somehow.
And you have to beat Dr. Phil in one of his underground fight clubs. Phil fights dirty, too. He'll have some sand in his trunk that he'll throw in your eyes.
Sure. And he'll just fuck you up with a cutting remark, too.
Yeah,
Deepak threw marbles on the floor in front of me when I was trying to approach, and I tripped and fell and broke my ankle.
Oh, man.
And I was foiled.
Chopra.
I was foiled.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
You know, if you know, for some reason you ever have to convince Oprah that Gail is still alive, mm-hmm. you and one of your buddies, let's say Jonathan Silverman, can prop her up on your shoulders, and it will be a real weekend at Oprah's.
Oh, my God.
Our guest, celebrated author. and all-around classy lady, Elizabeth Gilbert.
That's classy with a K.
And celebrity. Celebrity podcaster as well.
Yeah,
the
all
host
that.
Of the host of her own show produced by MaximumFun.org.
I'm under the umbrella of the family.
And look, I'm not trying to let out any secrets, but let's just say you might be getting deeper under the umbrella in a couple of months.
That sounds dirty.
Yes. It's really, sounds like something you do with Mary Poppins.
Jordan, you
get deeper under the umbrella.
You did that at Burning Man, right?
Yeah.
And that wasn't, by the way, that was not Mary Poppins. That was just some steampunk guy.
Yeah, and it wasn't an umbrella. It was a shed. It was a makeshift shed.
Hi, Elizabeth Gilbert.
Hi, fellas.
And I apologize.
And your apology is accepted.
Okay. Great. Great to have you here. Thank
so
you
nice
for making the
here.
Time in your... in your busy best-selling author schedule to come visit our terrible show.
Because I'm a completist of Jordan Jesse Go, as you know.
Sure.
Yeah. And also I've been trying to figure out for years.
You've even got those B-sides we did that only came out in Japan.
Yeah. I even listened to the ones where we can't hear you.
It's fun. You just get to imagine what I would have said.
Exactly. So I believe it was me who approached you recently and said –
You, okay.
Did you really mean it when you said you were keeping that chair warm for me?
Now, you're really twisting the definition of you approaching me, because you approaching me to verify that I wasn't bullshitting you when I approached you does not count as you approaching me.
Well,
however, we're grateful to have you here.
So happy to be here.
Elizabeth Gilbert. How's Oprah doing?
She's good. You sounded very sincere when you said that.
I am really upset because here's the thing. So I was in Scandinavia recently in Northern Europe. Is Denmark – that's something I've not been able to confirm, whether Denmark is part of Scandinavia.
Yes.
So every time it is?
It's part of Scandahoovia.
Okay. So when I was up in Scandahoops, Elizabeth was in town briefly on the Oprah Roadshow. The Oprah Roadshow is something where she – Deepak Chopra, Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil wasn't there.
Greg Barrett, our friend Greg Barrett.
There's a Dr. Phil hologram that performs like Tupac at Coachella.
Gail and Oprah go travel from stadium to stadium, inspiring people to be their best selves. All that's true except for Greg Barrett's not there anymore and... But they really do go from, like, arena to arena.
Well, that was last year.
Okay.
This year was just the one arena.
Okay.
And it was more like the UCLA theater.
So I really
– The arena – yeah, that's the arena of college theaters.
Yeah.
That's what
I think that's what people mean when they talk generally about the arena.
Yeah.
Liz emailed me and said, I'm going to be in town, but only very briefly. Do you want to come to this thing I'm doing with Oprah? Mm-hmm. And the answer to that question, of course, the only acceptable answer is, yes, of course I want to go to the thing you're doing with Oprah. Like, that sounds like the greatest thing ever. But I was in Scandinavia, so I couldn't go to the Oprah thing. And now I will never be friends with Oprah.
Oh, that's not true.
Really? You think I still got it in my future?
I think so.
You just have to murder Liz.
You just have to – because, you know, it's like taxi medallions with your friends. There's only – you know, so –
I was going to say it's like the Tim Allen movie, the Santa Claus.
Somebody's going to have to go.
Yeah.
Did he murder Santa Claus?
Yeah, he murdered Santa Claus in a Coke-fueled rage.
Is that really what happened?
I think he accidentally kills Santa Claus. It's been a while since I've seen the Santa Claus.
Wow.
So
No, I'll fall on my sword so that you can be friends with Oprah next.
Okay. What happens at an Oprah – at one of these Oprah extravaganzas? I'm really interested in this because I think – now I will establish a baseline. Obviously, I'm not in Oprah's core demo. To the extent that Oprah has a core demo, I mean, Oprah is one
demo
of the most
the
popular
world.
Yeah. Entertainers in the entire world.
There's matter.
Obviously, like, I'm, you know, I'm not a, I don't watch Oprah all the time or whatever, but I think any asshole can see that Oprah is, like, one of the greatest people at her job of any person in any pub, certainly any public figure ever.
Yes.
Like, she's unbelievable at being Oprah. So what... Like, so you, I guess you got involved in this Oprah world when your best-selling book, Eat, Pray, Love, probably was selling quadrillion copies. But, like, what is it like to be What is it like to be in the traveling Oprah circus? Like, what happens?
I'll tell you the truth. It's so mellow because everybody who works with her – this isn't making for good comedy, but – since you asked.
But I'm genuinely
I will genuinely yeah. tell you.
If things get too if things get a little too snoozy, I'll just make a fart sound.
Okay, cool. Cool. That's what Oprah
That's how
does.
You do. Yeah.
Sharon, I think you better get out the air horn just in case.
Oh, yeah. I got it. People, no, that's just something fucking rad
I don't
happens.
Know, I don't know her. I mean, I
sure,
we
sure.
know, you know, we're
your colleagues.
When she calls me and asks me to do something, I say yes, and I show up, and I do the very best I can. And she's always very very genial to me and very kind to me, but I would not presume to say right. that I know her, although I've certainly killed enough people to get there. I should.
The trail of bodies. Yeah, yeah, sure.
I mean, given the basket of heads that you delivered to her yeah. last time you saw her, you should be friends by now.
That was a big enough basket of heads to make friends with anybody. Yeah. But the people who work for her, I know.
Yeah.
And they're the single most professional people I've ever met, and they are very deeply good, and they believe in her completely, and they would all take a bullet for her, from the guy who runs the elevator to the people who organize the car services to the producers
chill?
To the yeah, because it's all well so well organized. There's no drama. There's no like you don't have a job working for Oprah Winfrey if you can't do your job well and in a very friendly manner and very politely. You will not be there for very long. So all you have to do is be able to work 16-hour days cheerfully. And paying attention to everybody and being polite and kind and gracious to everybody. That's the – so I have to figure that's what she's like because it reflects like it's a top-down thing, right? The whole company looks like the person who's at the top of the company.
I can't imagine that it's chill. I'm pretty sure they're all on crank. They're all spun.
Well, yeah.
They're all spun and that's what's going on.
What's the food like?
The food is very nice.
I would imagine.
And the gift bags are very nice.
What do you got? I'm going to say chicken tikka masala.
That's in the gift bag.
Where you got a sog paneer?
I'm trying to think if there's a funny, like a genuinely funny story that I can tell you about it. Because I feel like I should.
You could just tell us a revelatory story too. Like I'm sincerely.
Yeah, this is something. This is something we will never do in our lives.
Can I tell you my revelatory story with her, where I got to see how she's Oprah Winfrey and nobody else is?
Right. Hmm.
Okay. So it was at the stadium tour in Newark, New Jersey last year, and so somebody came up to me in the audience and said, "I'm here with Make-A-Wish Foundation." And there's somebody, there's a young girl, she's 14 years old, and her wish was to come and see this Oprah Winfrey show. So you already know, like, some very bad thing is happening to that girl.
Right.
And her family was there, and she was in the front row. And so I talked to her for a little while and then went my own way. And then Oprah has given her thing, and then she pauses to say, "We have somebody very special in the audience today that I want to introduce you all to." And so she gives this completely friendly, warm, respectful, without mentioning this girl's disease or condition or what the problem is, she's here with her parents and she's a wonderful young woman. And so she says, "Please stand up." And so she stands up and then, you know, the lights go on her and everybody cheers. And then that's great, right? Like anybody could do that or would do that. The next part is why she's Oprah Winfrey. The next thing she did is she said, "And I would like to introduce you to," I'll just throw her name because I can't remember her name, "Natalie's little sister, who's also here and who I got to meet backstage and is such a fascinating young woman. She loves piano and she's into sports and she just noticed that the younger sister has been the younger sister of the girl who's dying probably her whole life. And can we put the spotlight on Natalie? And just she does terrific things in school and she's on the..." And just that was the moment where I was like, that's the 360-degree vision that she has that nobody else has.
Yeah,
That's what separates her from Wendy Williams.
That and only that.
Sure, yeah.
So that was my – I mean, I've always been impressed, but that was my moment. I thought, oh, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's
that nobody
totally
else has.
Amazing.
It's
what was
so
it?
Beautiful. It was – and, of course, everybody's sobbing. But it was great. She just recognized the person who wasn't seen.
What was it like to meet Wendy Williams?
Inspiring, mm-hmm. intimidating.
Mm-hmm. She's ferocious.
I feel like I'm a better person mm-hmm. for it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to do it again.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's just.
It's like.
Sure.
A little bit like how people feel when they get out of the army, I think.
Yeah, or
I grew
like.
Grew up a lot.
Or like, you know, going deep in a shack at Burning Man. That's also. I did it.
So that's
what
it.
Is. How does one. because it seems like the purpose of these things is to inspire, right, to be inspirational. Is it tough when the place is that fucking huge to, like, here, I'm going to give you something that'll touch you personally, also a million others who are also here.
Right, and everybody on the televised audience when we make the TV special.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
It's the hardest speaking gig that I've ever had.
I believe it.
Because here's why. It's because those people come there with the most purely undefended hearts, and because she has taught them that they can trust her, and so they come and they just hand you a completely undefended human heart with, like, this open, like, okay, here.
And you have to eat it.
Here, and you have to eat it in front of them, or else you don't get to be the Dothraki queen. and so there's no cynicism, there's no reserve. They just came because they want some information that'll make their lives better, and that's a huge amount of responsibility. And she's sitting in the front row watching, like, hey, I trusted you with my audience who trust me with their lives. What do you have for them?
Did you open with some, like, local jokes?
That's what I would do. Local references.
I was coming here on the 7-10.
I just didn't prepare.
Yeah.
7-10!
I like to start with, like, Webster's defines inspiration.
Right.
Yeah. And that just whole audience.
And then I say, well, I was sitting on the plane thinking about what I would say today, which is another one of my favorite ways to start a speech. I feel like that's always really effective. Can't believe I'm here. Yeah, it's intimidating, but an honor.
I'm sure pretty different than doing an independent bookstore or something, too. I imagine that's a whole different ballgame.
Independent bookstores is a different thing. And, like, a TED Talk is a different thing because there you're dealing with the opposite, which is people who are very brainy. And they will not let you know that, like, they sit there with their arms folded.
Oh, interesting.
Their BlackBerry's kind of waiting.
I didn't even think about that.
Waiting to be impressed.
That is scary and hard.
Yeah.
When I was in Scandinavia, I was doing talks at radio conferences, and I did the first one.
You did a Fjorn talk.
Yeah.
That's what I think people are named in Scandinavia, Fjorn.
Is that Scando Ted?
Like, yeah. Tjorn. That's as common as Ted.
Tjorn. It's T-J.
A Tjorn Tjok.
R-N.
Like legendary tennis star.
Tjorn Tjorg.
Yeah, Tjorn Tjorg. He gives a Tjorn Tjok.
And underwear manufacturer.
Sure.
So I did a talk in front of this big auditorium full of Swedish people.
Uh-huh.
I have never been more convinced that a group of people hated me than when I was giving this talk and when I walked off stage. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, I literally flew 8,000 miles to make this speech. And I basically, best case scenario, didn't enter their minds. Worst case scenario was a significant annoyance to them.
Oh no!
And
you just weren't doing enough local jokes.
Then, like three. I know, God.
Who likes dried
fish?
Well,
I had this idea.
Whoa! This guy gets us.
I had this idea that I was going to tell that when I got to Copenhagen, I would tell the story of how I met the greatest Danish celebrity of all time, Lee Oscar, the harmonica player for War, which I did once, but I couldn't fit it in. But anyway, I got on stage, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, that was a huge disaster. And, like, I went and ate dinner by myself, you know, in Stockholm. And then while I was eating dinner, I remembered back to the first time I went to Public Radio International, which is in Minneapolis. And I had the same feeling the first time I went there. They were my distributor at the time, so they were like, you know, we were business partners. But I was like, Jesus Christ, I think all of these people hate me. Like, what's going on? And then I was like, oh, right. Like, I'm in Scandinavia. These people, just their culture is not to react to anything under any circumstances. Like, it's an entire nation of impassive nodders.
Sure. Well, if you attract too much attention to yourself, you will draw the fury of the trolls.
Exactly.
Who live under all of their bridges. So you just need to remain... A troll's vision is a lot like that of a T-Rex.
Yeah.
It's movement-based.
But, like, I feel like there's nothing more terrifying than speaking to an audience. I think it's in some ways more terrifying to speak to a kind of impassive audience than a hostile audience. Because at least if there's a hostile audience, you can call it out.
And there's energy there.
Yeah.
There's something.
You can, like, get into a tête-à-tête with
sure.
it.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, like when you're like staring out at just people who are just like, I don't know. I saw Bill Gates earlier.
It's like that. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference.
Yeah.
And the terrible indifference of those are my people, the Scandahoovians. My grandfather, Carl Olsen, was a Swede who hated Norwegians and Danes and Finlanders.
Oh, wow.
A lot. A Minnesota Swede.
Can you explain that prejudice? I mean, obviously, you know, you're a noted racist yourself, so I mean, you know.
Can I?
Yeah.
Well, I certainly can.
Yeah. Well, let's see. The Finns are fat.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Stupid.
There's a ridge on their skull that causes them to be deceptive. It's genetic.
Oh, my God.
The deceptive Finn ridge. But do you know what, like, what did he. I'm always so fascinated in those regional.
Well, it's
spats
the narcissism
that people
of,
get
like,
in.
Of small difference.
Yeah,
slight
sure.
Difference, right? Like only a mother's eye could tell the difference between these people. No one else in the world cares, but they
right.
care deeply because the important thing is only that you are not a Norwegian.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, everyone seemed to like have this sort of pity for the Norwegians.
Yeah. Mm.
Like that they were like these sad left out weirdos of Scandinavia. And it's like, hey, you guys know they're the richest country in Scandinavia, right? And also they were like the chillest ones that I talked to.
Yeah. My grandfather was once traveling for business in Minnesota and he stopped at a motel to check in and the guy at the desk made the mistake of saying to him, "Oh, are you Norwegian?"
Oh man.
And my grandfather said, "No, I'm Swedish. Why do you ask?" And he said, "Well, we have a conference here of Norwegians, and you look like them." And my grandfather said, "I've been sick." I guess Norwegians are also sickly.
I was walking down the street.
Well, they don't have the vibrant color of
sure.
the Swedes.
Yeah.
The robust,
yeah.
high color of
yeah.
the Swedes.
I was walking down the street and down the other end. Coming toward me was a group of Hasidic Jews.
Uh-huh.
And as I got past them, one grabbed me on the shoulder and spun me around in a really a way that was more powerful than I would have expected a Jew to be.
Oh, my God.
No, it was jarring.
Right.
And he just looks me in the eyes and says, "Excuse me, are you Jewish?" And I said, and here's – I responded in a bad way because mm-hmm. okay. I went, "No." I was not laughing at the fact that someone would be Jewish.
Right.
I think it would be cool.
It's just an odd question.
It was an odd question to be asked by a, you know, without a hello.
By a chassid
yeah.
who had just grabbed your shoulder.
Sure. And so I thought it came off as Jewish. Do they still make those? You know, like it seemed like,
oh
right.
you know.
Nobody's really that.
Yeah. It's like someone's like, "Oh, if you're, you know, somebody's mom asked you if you watch The Big Bang Theory."
So right.
No, come on. I feel like that was my reaction to it.
To be fair, we do watch it, but just for John Ross Bowie.
Sure, yeah, we all watch it. Yeah, we see if Bowie. We go on IMDb, see if it's guest starring John Ross Bowie.
Yeah,
then we
DVR. I saw the same thing happen in New York City the other day on 15th Street, and some young Hasidic Jewish guys were grabbing people off the street, which sounds violent.
Yeah,
yeah,
throwing them in cars, and
like a 70s cop show, like
yeah.
putting your hands behind your back and slamming your face on the hood and
yeah.
saying, "Excuse me, are you Jewish?"
And then I walked toward them and I made very deliberate eye contact because I wanted them to ask me, and they looked at me and they looked away, and I was like, "Hey, what are you?
Yeah.
What
come
do you mean?
On,
couldn't I be?
Yeah,
like what? Like you might." Who? How do you know?
Like, what if my dad is Swedish and my mom's Jewish? That makes me Jewish. It's matrilineal.
But no.
But I said, and then he says, "Okay, have a great day then." And then they just walked off.
Wow.
I wish I said yes. I wasn't doing anything. I could have just did whatever it was they were doing.
Yeah.
I should have gone with it.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's like you broke the improv rule.
Yeah,
I said
no, exactly, and
nothing happened.
Yeah,
you know,
Del Close would be
this might
very
be
angry
a normal Los Angeles thing because I mean you remember years ago in Koreatown when that man stopped his car in the middle of the road, rolled down the window, put his head out, and yelled at me. You Russian?
Yeah. I think they could be.
I thought you were going to say, "You Korean."
That I don't think. Yes, sir. I'm baseball star Hee-Sop Choi.
It's matrilineal.
Yeah, right, exactly. Koreanness. To be fair, you do kind of smell like kimchi.
That's true.
Most of the you have a waft.
That's true.
I think we. God, this will sound so ignorant. I guess we were close to a Jewish holiday, one of
right.
them.
Right, yeah.
maybe they were grabbing, you know, non-observant Jews off the street. And
observing them?
And yeah, and then just helping them to observe.
Putting them under up observation.
Yeah. Or Jewish Fight Club. One of the two.
I think it's pretty clear that whatever I was being roped into was some kind of fight club.
Sure, yeah.
Like, if it wasn't a sanctioned fight club with rules and whatnot, mm-hmm. it was some kind of ethnic street gang.
Either way, you would be shirtless in a basement.
Right,
what
exactly.
The guy was Chechen. Looking for revenge killing.
Oh, yeah. So I might have dodged a bullet, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Or an improvised explosive
device. You end up
device.
Shirtless in a basement in that story,
sure,
too.
Sure, yeah. Could my guy have just been a Palestinian in disguise?
Oh, that's a very good disguise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I can explain it, Jordan.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's a possible explanation. We live in a land of mysteries.
Mm, sure. You unsolved know, mysteries.
Los Angeles is a city reluctant to reveal itself.
Mm, sure.
You know, you have to – you know what? We should ask Pulitzer Prize winning food columnist Jonathan Gold. He's the only man who knows the answer.
Sure.
He's the man who knows the secrets
of Los
Angeles.
He would probably just say, go for some soup dumplings.
Yeah. If too bad Huelhauser's dead. We could have asked him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I guess the moral of the story is if someone asked you if you are a – religion or an ethnicity,
yeah.
Say yes and go with it.
Right.
Something might happen.
What if there were expectations associated, though?
Oh, yeah. Like, would they want to see my dong?
What if they wanted you to sit Shiva or something? And you didn't know the prayers.
I wouldn't do it at a military checkpoint.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. You should probably
feels
just
like
be honest.
The stakes would be very high there.
Yeah,
I know people who
and I usually
I want to see what happens if I say
and I usually
Muslim.
Have a balloon of heroin up my ass too, so that's
I know people who have been roped into who have been had attempts made to rope them into sitting Shiva because you have to maintain a quorum.
Sure.
And if somebody has to like go to work or to the bathroom or whatever, they'll just run out and grab the first Jew they can find and say, could you mind taking 10 minutes here to sit Shiva while Frank goes to the bathroom? So that might have been
I could have done
on.
That. I could have sat in front of a body and had a little arugula.
But I mean, arugula.
Is that what a little
arugula?
Yeah. They're not like
Rugelach?
A. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Don't know.
I just prefer the image of you sitting in front of a casket with a big bowl of arugula.
Arugula is a nice peppery green.
It's sure. nice. It's the California way
it's
to
bitter,
sit.
Bitter, yeah. But, you know, yeah. Yeah.
It's a healthier alternative.
Okay, well, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Hello, buddies. I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Andy Bolt.
And we're the host of Bunker Buddies.
We're a podcast where we're amateur survivalists and we talk about things like the apocalypse.
And we talk about zombies and preparedness.
What are you going to wear when it's the apocalypse?
And you have no idea if you don't listen to our show. It comes out every Wednesdays on MaximumFun.org and on iTunes. Sometimes we try weird foods or we talk about where to camp or how to avoid getting eaten or any of these things.
Yeah, so listen to us because it might just save your life.
We'll see you in the bunker.
Bye.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Liz Gilbert, corrector witness.
Yeah. Cool.
Made that one up at the beginning of the show. Been saving that.
That's good.
I had that in the chamber.
At good. Some point, I feel like I have to decide whether I'm going to have the talk with him. I think every parent has to have the talk with their child.
I mean, he knows where babies come from because you guys watch so much pornography.
Yeah, right. But he
which
doesn't,
is all about but showing babies being born.
What kind of porn do you watch? All of mine. It starts with a couple. Right. And they sit down and they say, I think we're in a good place financially.
Yeah, first they go over their finances.
Yeah. And, you know, and this is, I mean, this is all part of it.
They look at the
you
school
know.
System.
It's called right. the tease portion.
Right.
And, yeah, and they, you know, make sure
that's
they're in a good.
It's not, here's the thing. So you're a woman, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
Women's vaginas are naturally moist.
More than men's vaginas. But,
yeah, yeah. A man's vagina is angry.
I'll give you that.
A man has to. a man has to watch a little bit of financial and school district discussion in order to become tumescent that he might successfully achieve intercourse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good to know. Because famously, women are ready for intercourse at every moment.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, for a man, like, probably your husband has to excuse himself
to
the bathroom or whatever to look over some books.
Well, he needs to relax first.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
He can't just shift gears like that.
Precisely.
You know?
So, yeah. So, George,
you and then they – and sorry, this is really filthy. I'm describing pornography on the show. I know that's
– Right. This is usually –
Not usually what we do. For all of Liz's fans who might be tuning in for the first time, we don't usually describe such filth.
Right. Usually our show – I mean, we do a lot of surprising animal friends –
quizzes about which Disney princess you are.
Yeah, children's geography lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I think geography is really important for kids. A lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a key part. A lot of people leave that out when they talk about STEM subjects.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think geography is really central to that.
Stegem.
It's a science. It's a real science. Yeah, I call it stegem.
Mm-hmm.
And. Yeah, I mean, I think that's why we're falling behind the Chinese. And more than just ping pong.
Where's China?
Yeah, exactly.
See?
Exactly.
Geography
failed me. You probably went to American schools.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Sorry, Jordan. So you were saying about how you...
So afterwards, this is kind of titillating.
Right.
So, you know, if you guys want to pause it for a second and light some candles and bring a loved one around while I describe this porno I saw.
Right.
Series of pornos. You know, after they discuss the fact that they're ready financially and, you know, they're in a good school zone and they've got a spare room that they can turn into a nursery. She was using it as a gym, but I think they can turn it into a nursery.
Room.
Yeah. I mean, she'll probably have to sell the elliptical, but then she'll just get a gym membership. But so they turn the.
Oh, she's going to.
She's going to get
join,
it.
Like
so
a
she's
going to
get it.
Fitness.
Yeah. Or a Crunch.
But not the YMCA.
Well, I mean,
they have
you
free
could.
It's,
yeah,
YMCA.
But the parking's a little tough
that
around
really
there. Parking's
off.
A little tough around there.
The child here.
It's nice they validate a Crunch. So I mean, it's a toss up.
I can't get off unless you talk about the environmental impact of having kids, and they discuss that.
Oh, they
like
definitely
whether it's
do.
Ethical to even
guys.
Child into
sorry, it. I mean, I don't want to.
It's just my kink.
I don't want to complete everyone right now, but they decided to use cloth diapers.
Oh. I'm good over here.
G to G, to F.
There is a fascinating internet thing that it relates to pornography. There's a
because it's an internet thing.
Because it's on the internet, so obviously you're two clicks away from a gaping anus. the site is called PornMD, and they have a live scroll of just terms that people are searching.
Uh-huh.
And it is hypnotic. Like, I get ASMR.
Is it erotic?
No, it's not a lot. So, it'll be these kind of typical, you know, porn things.
Right.
You know, big boobs or, threesome. But then it'll just say...
Just please tell me.
So then it'll just say Xbox or something really specific like understanding therapist. Understanding therapist is one. And then Tennis Japan. That I think... I fucking
what,
lost
a teeny penis.
I don't know. I don't know what Tennis Japan is.
How do you spell?
T-E-E-N-I-S.
It's got to be a teeny weeny weeny.
Oh.
Teeniest?
I don't know. I don't know what teen. And here's the thing is you can click on it and see what you would get.
Oh, my God.
I think it's better to leave it a mystery.
I think it's not.
You would like to see Teeniest Japan.
Well, we wouldn't be sitting here speculating about what it was.
That's
if
true.
You had bothered to find out for us.
She's got a point.
That's
Jordan.
True. Right? We could just move on
Where's
to another
segment. Where's
your
curiosity, my friend?
Yeah.
Also, how are you going to find out if maybe that's your thing?
I guess I could go there and search it myself.
Elizabeth is an expert on finding your creative passions and self-fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And I think she just called your ass out on the carpet, my
friend. Mm-hmm. I guess I've been.
It's twice you've said no. You said no to the Hasidic Jewish guys. You said no to Tina's Japan.
You just got some big magic dropped on you.
I'm starting to think you don't want to live a creative life.
That's not.
Sounds like you've got.
I guess not.
If you even have any magic, it's probably Tina's magic.
Oh, my God.
Man, guys, I'm getting dressed down.
Yeah.
I am.
Is dressed down one of the things on that
dressed
scroll?
Dressed down. Two best ones, snake crawling pussy. Pussy crawling snake. Snake crawling pussy and amateur stepdad. I think amateur stepdad kind of fucking blew me away. I'm like, this is.
God, all these stepdads are too polished.
Oh yeah, I want to see it.
Oh,
I don't want to see one of these,
God.
You know, surgically enhanced stepdads with their silicone slacks
and
their makeup. I want to see an amateur, just a real raw stepdad.
Look, kids, I'm not going to lie. I've never been a stepdad before.
Dear Penthouse Forum.
Oh, that's horrible.
I like it. It's just a guy who doesn't know how to relate to kids taking them to a water park. So are you like Pokemon? You know.
Oh, jeez.
What's the matter? You don't like football?
What's this Tina's Japan?
Oh, can I have one of your cigarettes? What?
Yeah.
What do you mean you're nine?
Hey, you want to taste a beer?
Are you sure your mom lets you have ice cream for dinner? Yeah. Amateur
you don't have to go to school every day, surely. Oh, my God.
I suggest if you are having trouble sleeping,
that's wonderful.
To go to PornMD and look at search terms or
so
something.
So when you were talking about PornMD before you said what it was, what I thought it was a scroll of a doctor's commentary on what the people were doing.
Oh, just a guy going, now see, this is not medically advisable.
This fold is called the, I don't know.
I
like that he's just deciding advisable or inadvisable.
This is good.
This is advisable. Inadvisable.
Here we've got a really nice shot of the clitoral hood.
Lift from the knees, not from the lower back.
It's like a dock worker's commentary.
Steve Adore.
There's a union rep on hand at all times.
What you were gonna say?
It's funny that you mentioned Steve Adore because that's what I usually search for on Pornhub.
Mm-hmm. Amateur Steve Adore. I don't know where this trunk goes.
Thank you very much. I search for only American Union Steve Adore. Thank you very much. I'm no scab.
Sure.
I don't care what the Pinkertons have to say about it. By the way, I also search for Pinkerton pornography.
Two in the Pinkerton, one in the Stinkerton.
Okay, we're not going to beat that. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Liz Gilbert, old prospector.
Hey! I would like to mention. Mm-hmm. Nice of you to come down from them bar hills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would like to mention
for comedy.
I am headed out on tour.
Mine is dry. It's
sorry.
You're panning in the wrong place.
I am headed out on tour. Oprah is an invited guest on my tour. Ooh. We have not confirmed Oprah.
Uh huh.
But if Oprah, in fact, I'm making the invitation now.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Oprah, if you're out there,
just
stop by. You're welcome to do a short set on the show.
How long a set?
It's like 5 to 10.
Okay.
We'll give her 5 to 10 before we give her the light.
All right.
And it's a 2-minute light.
I'll pass it on.
Okay, great. Oprah, if you want to come, I know that we get all these notes. Oprah sends me a lot of notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know how she's so thoughtful with the notes? Mm-hmm. She sends me all these notes on, she's very nice stationery, and they always say, when can I come on your marginal public radio show, Bullseye with Jesse Thorne? And I don't know, like, I'm kind of on a Sally Jesse thing right now, and I don't think I'm ready for Oprah to come on my show, but I'm saying now, I'm going on tour. We're doing Los Angeles, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Boston, and Washington, D.C. I know Oprah spends a lot of time in our nation's capital.
I thought you were going to say in Philadelphia.
And a lot of time in Boston, in Southie, where she's from.
Sure.
That's why her name's pronounced Oprah.
Yeah.
Actually, it's spelled Oprah.
Yeah.
But she can't say the R.
And if she wants to come on the – if she wants to come on Bullseye, she's open. We're glad to have her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even if I have to bump somebody. You know, I'll...
And by bump, do you mean
kill, murder?
Okay, as per our earlier discussion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So, yeah. So I just want to throw that out there, number one. Just so she knows, she can go to bullseyetour.com and find out how to, hook up with us. That having been said, you can also buy tickets to come see the shows if you're not Oprah. So the first part of the message was for Oprah. This part is the non-Oprah part. If you want to buy tickets to see the shows, go to bullseyetour.com. We are putting together some really amazing lineups, great comedy and music and interviews on all of these shows. It's going to be a real blast. So bullseyetour.com, all coming up in November, the week or so before Thanksgiving. So come out, buy tickets. It's going to be a hoot and a half. I also want to mention that I did load up pornmd.com. And so far, something that I really enjoyed was just the word nacho. Someone just searched for the word nacho, which is a snack.
Yeah. You want to see it in a sexual context.
Now, that's fair. Okay. What about this? O/lovely. What do you think that means?
Maybe he's just trying to search O. Henry.
Yeah.
It's either the candy bar or a short story that has a surprising twist at the end.
Yeah. That's
ironic
fair.
Porn.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ooh, ironic. Yeah.
If something momentous.
You blast at the twist.
If something momentous happens to you, like, for example, you find some nacho-themed pornography, we ask you to call us at 206-984-4FUN for our segment, Momentous Occasions. Let's see what's momentous this week.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, Brian, Gabs. I just witnessed a human, a dude, walking a large dog, who then in turn had a leash in his mouth and was walking a smaller dog. And it was pretty amazing. Thanks, have a great day.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
So the dog...
One dog was walking the other dog, and the guy was walking the dog that was walking the other dog.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Moratorium on saw somebody walking an animal.
I don't know. I mean, if we're going to have a
good.
Moratorium
on
anything, it should be, fucking calls.
Okay. We could.
What did he mean by walking a bigger dog?
Oh, maybe that was a filthy.
But I would like to see it.
I would like to see that, too. I'm not saying that that's not. Great.
Jordan, what's your problem with unlikely animal friends?
I mean,
Jordan actually wrote me a memo. Mm-hmm. Jordan circulated
an Oprah-esque memo.
An all-staff memo.
Yeah.
Earlier that said, please no more goats and trees.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like goats and trees. And he didn't mean just on our show. From what I understood from the memo, he meant in American culture.
I wanted you guys to give that to trees. Just to let them know, if a goat tries to climb up in them, they can say no.
Give them
no.
The old shakeroo.
They can say no.
So they should just lay down the law.
Yeah.
No means no when it comes to goats getting up on trees.
Mm-hmm. Did you see goats and trees in Porn MD?
Goats and trees.
That's
here's
just
my
somebody,
thing.
That's just somebody who's who just went to the wrong search engine.
Oh, I feel so sorry for them.
Here's what a lot of Porn MD is people... who think it's just a general search.
Yeah, I mean, goats is actually a gay subculture. So
sure.
They will get something. Yeah, sure, why not?
It's gay men who eat cans. Can eat a whole can.
It's like we're like bears, but we eat cans.
And we have satanic eyes.
yeah, sure. Here's the thing about I saw a guy walking a blank.
Yeah.
Or a woman walking a blank. Is that... It's great.
Yeah.
If I saw it, I would think that was cool. I would like that I saw it. I think these people are being purposefully cute
you
so they
like
could
that
be
being show off.
I think they I think they want to be local yokels. Mm-hmm. I think they want to go viral.
Right.
I think they this guy probably has fucking YouTube videos of himself walking this dog, walking this dog.
Does he?
I bet he does. I don't know if yeah, type it into PornMD. And I just – I don't know. I think that it's great, but I think it
– Oh!
Dog walking a dog?
Yeah. Oh, man, this is great. Look at these all kinds of fucking dogs. Oh, this one is what? Dog walking – oh, my God. This one is, I swear to God.
You're just giving in to, this is what they want. We might as well watch fucking viral wedding proposals.
This is.
We might as well watch.
No, Jordan.
Doctors doing an Uptown Funk parody, but they change it to pediatric funk or something like that.
One dog.
This is the kind of self-conscious viral bullshit.
One dog is, number one, stop being so pretentious and smug, Jordan.
Sure, no, you're right.
Just because
choose
I'm
one,
a man
one
of the people. Just because I have a reputation as being
sure.
a man of the people,
mm-hmm.
and you, of course, have a reputation as being pretentious and smug and mm-hmm. sounding insincere.
Sure.
This is a picture of one dog walking another dog, and that dog is walking the first dog. They're reciprocal walking each other.
But that's not what...
Let me see.
It's fine. It's fine.
Let me see this.
It's great.
But... We've heard all of this.
Right.
We've heard Snake. We've heard...
That's cute.
It's really good, right?
Mush Dogs in the
Gilbert's
Park.
Liz Gilbert's the number one best-selling author in America right now, according to the New York Times. That's the newspaper of record.
Mm-hmm. The old gray lady.
That means she's sold as many...
That's
as...
also on PornMD.
Also...
She's probably sold over five... over five dozen
it's also
books
a gay
this
subculture.
Week to make it to number one
sure.
on the New York Times bestseller list.
Upwards of 10 dozen.
Yeah. She sold over several books to make it onto the New York Times bestseller list, and you're mm-hmm. insulting... Something that she, an expert who's best friends with Oprah, just confirmed.
Can I tell you something I saw today?
Please.
I was going for a walk in Pasadena.
Yeah, Pasadena, California.
Very, very affluent community.
And you saw an unusual little old lady.
I saw some pretty heavily watered yards for a
yeah.
state that's supposed to be in a drought. Just
yeah.
saying, Pasadena, one.
Sure.
But two, I saw in this very Tony neighborhood a sign crudely written on like a big piece of cardboard you'd get at Staples for your kid's school project, stapled to a big beautiful tree in front of a pretty nice house that said, "Don't throw dog poop at our house and stop telling our dogs to shut up. We will call the police."
Wow. Wow.
And
well,
I mean,
I'm
about to take a picture of it, but then a guy pulled up in a beat up car and I thought, if that is the guy who wrote that and he sees me taking a picture of it, I'm dead.
Or worse, what if he's the shit thrower?
Jeez.
And stop telling
that,
our dogs to shut up.
What
well,
a little...
I'm glad somebody's doing something about cyberbullying.
Sure, yeah. Do you think the dogs are making noise online?
Probably.
The dogs are just,
on
tweeting, MySpace. Just tweeting too much.
Yeah.
Phew, boy.
Dogs
yeah.
are into
there's
Snapchat
a back,
now.
There's a fantastic story behind that sign.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to be that guy's neighbor.
Just maybe a movie starring Charlie Day.
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
he can.
I would watch that.
I think that sounds pretty good.
You know what? I'd watch any fucking movie starring Charlie Day. Remember when he was in that movie Pacific Rim?
Sure.
And I watched that movie Pacific Rim. It didn't really make sense, although it was a pretty fun movie. But like the whole time, I'm just thinking, like, Jesus Christ, let's put Charlie Day in all our movies.
I agree.
Remember
pal around with Ron Perlman?
Remember when he was in that movie that wasn't that good, but was a big success? About where the three guys is him and Jason Bateman.
Terrible Bosses. Horrible Bosses.
Yeah, Horrible Bosses. It's not
he's
that fun. Great of
he's
a movie.
He's so funny in that
but
movie.
But he's so great. And you're just like, why isn't Charlie Day in all of our movies?
You just said, you sounded like him when you said that.
It seems like, are we having a weird cultural moment around dogs? Is there a lot of dog-related tension in the air these days? It seems like something is happening R.E. dogs, but I can't figure out what it is.
What
it
are
seems
you feeling?
Like, it seems like dog people are mad, non-dog people are mad,
mm-hmm.
and that this will probably lead to society crumbling.
Dog people are mental.
Yeah.
I mean, I think here's the thing. Like, obviously, I'm a dog owner.
Mm-hmm.
You're a cat owner. Mm-hmm. It's why we make such an amusing
couple. Sure, yeah, the original odd couple.
Yeah. It's like, I'm fat, you're thin.
Sure, yeah.
I prefer dogs to cats generally, although I also like cats. But I will openly admit that, like, a dog enthusiast is a weird fucking thing.
And I don't mean, like, people – like, dogs as pets. I get dog as pet. But it seems like I don't know.
You mean talking about wild dogs?
Yeah, I'm talking about, like coyotes.
Dingoes?
Coyotes and dingoes. They're stealing our babies, apparently.
Yeah. My son told me, my son got upset about foxes
because
he figured out that a fox is like a mean dog.
Uh-huh.
And he got freaked out about it. He had this dream that there was foxes living underneath our floor.
Sounds pretty adorable.
And he told me this morning, he said, Dad, foxes should be nice.
Wow, said, that's for sure.
I don't understand why we don't have all animals be nice to us.
Why don't we have that?
Yeah. From the mouths of babes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
you
I
should
said,
show him.
I said, quit being so lazy. Let's write a letter to President Obama.
Hey, sure.
You should show him that documentary about how it took 30 generations to breed Siberian foxes that were nice.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I have
seen
not
that
seen
shit.
That.
I watched that
you
shit
sit
on
him
Netflix.
Down and you...
I'll watch any goddamn dog documentary on Netflix.
You show him that and you say...
That was like a Nova, right?
We
wasn't
got, we got Russian
Nova
scientists working on that, son.
And they got all those foxes in the little in the cages.
And then they're
and
so
they're
cute and sweet and they get
and they
baby ears.
And the ones for the floppy ears.
Floppy ears and big eyes and suddenly they're nice and cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, you tell him it's being taken
care of. You didn't see this show, Jordan?
I have not seen this show.
Anyway,
so
my point
good.
Is I'm better than dog owners.
Yeah. It seems like, yeah, boy, I don't know what it is. It seems like they're, I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of dog-related anger.
Do you
is that, am I wrong about
has,
that?
Do you think it has to do with people bringing their dogs on airplanes as a service animal?
Oh, boy.
When
I
the
mean,
dog
that's,
itself.
That's something.
As John Hodgman I do like said, it when they service animal.
I do like it when they wear the little vest, though.
I like it. It's cute.
So the like the clear bullshit about what's going on is somehow like, offset by the fact that they've got a little vest.
Don't you feel like, I was about to say, don't you feel like you'd be so mad if you were blind and you saw someone walk and then be like, oh, you wouldn't see him.
Yeah.
But I feel, wouldn't you be mad if you needed sure. a service animal and somebody yeah. was playing that?
I feel so, I feel.
That's how people who use medical marijuana feel.
Yeah.
When they I see feel, guys blazing up and watching
terrible.
Family Guy.
I feel terrible for folks like our friend Jimmy Pardo mm-hmm. or who are deathly allergic to dogs mm-hmm. when there's unnecessary dogs on the airplane. I understand, like, I feel their pain and I understand that completely. And I know that sometimes dogs poop and pee on airplanes. That can't be convenient.
Don't however, throw it at my house.
Yeah.
That having been said.
Just drop it out of the airplane.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, our friend Graham Clark from Stop Podcasting Yourself, he's allergic to every goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's allergic to dogs. I'd feel terrible to inconvenience him. But I have to say, there's nothing I love more than seeing a dog on an airplane.
I personally love it.
That shit's fucking tremendous. What's he doing in there, you know? Like, he comes out of a bag like somebody's got some luggage. You think it's regular luggage, but then a little dog nose peeks out. It's like, hey, guys.
Give him a little, give him a little drink.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's like using a handicapped parking spot.
Oh, yeah.
To go get a coffee.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
If you're not handicapped, I
should
say. Obviously, you
should. Right, yeah. If you are handicapped.
Hey, needless to say, yeah. Handicapped people, feel free to use those spots. Everybody else, you know, come on.
Yeah, but I do like seeing a dog in an airplane.
I like seeing a dog in a handicapped parking spot.
I'm sick of dogs using handicapped parking. That is.
If they have the cone on their head, they can. Because it's harder to drive with one of those on.
Let's take our next call here.
So my moment's occasion is that I deliver pizza, and I delivered pizza to a plane crash. Yeah. It's, gotta happen. That was neat. Have a good day.
I don't understand. First of all, I don't understand how a guy as eloquent as this one ended up delivering pizza.
You think they were ordering it for the dogs who were on the plane? Give them a little pizza?
Pizza delivery can be a really good job. I was talking to a dude who was a pizza delivery guy mm-hmm. in like a nice neighborhood. And he was making like $30 an hour, most of which was cash. Mm. I'm like, shit, that's a solid gig.
Jesse, that's what you took away from that phone call. You don't want to go back to talk about the fucking plane crash.
Well, here's the
we
thing
we want to talk about how much pizza
I'm assuming everybody was okay because... They ordered pizza. You don't order pizza for a corpse.
It right. could have been the
unless you're trying
security.
To trick Oprah into thinking she's alive.
Yeah.
Gail wants some pizza? Nom, 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 nom. She's great on CBS this morning.
Yeah. Well, she's no Charlie Rose. Maybe if she
I think everybody's
more.
Good on that. I think everybody's.
She was more of a morning drinker. Okay. So let's talk about the plane crash. He gave us no context on this
yeah.
at all.
And again, I think sometimes people, you know, they've taken the original note of keep the calls pithy. And sometimes we're getting these these frustrating mystery boxes.
Yeah, we demand,
that we cannot possibly unpack.
It's essential when you are keeping it pithy that you deliver the pith. That doesn't simply mean speak briefly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like we have to dig through this phone call for the black box of information.
Why not just make the whole plane out of the pizza?
About what actually happened?
Yeah. I mean,
I think
you know, you see those, like, you know, you see, like, news reports of an accident or, an accident or a crash in a movie, and you always see the survivors. They put the wool blanket around them. Right. They usually have, like, a mug or a water or something. What if they're like, fuck that, let's give them a slice of za.
Oh, my God.
Just went
what
through
if they wrap them
a
in
trial.
Pizza?
No, that would be nice.
Like, you go to the trauma center, you know, the trauma counselor, and she's like, can I get a double extra large over here? And they just...
So, like, the body is like the cheese in the crust of a special...
Yeah, of a stuffed crust pizza.
Of a stuffed crust pizza. Okay.
Or a calzone.
That's the part that I got confused about. I was wondering, is this a calzone?
Yeah.
The rest of it made perfect sense.
Well, the rest of it was clear as a bell.
I think I'm following this.
You're a gifted writer, Liz. You don't get to the number one on the New York Times bestseller list.
Without selling a few dozen pizzas.
Yeah, if your editor's just running through everything with a red pencil writing unk, okay? It was clear as a bell up until the part about the calzone. Couldn't figure out if it was a calzone or a stuffed crust pizza.
I mean, I hate to keep going back to this thing about people, you know, trying to go viral.
Right.
Do you think this was someone trying to follow up Pizza Rat with Pizza Plane Crash Victim?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's possible.
And then people could put it online and say, like, I'm Pizza Plane Crash Victim.
Pizza Rat really was a hell of a rat. I mean, I think we'll always remember Pizza Rat.
Yeah. I'm not saying Pizza Rat was bad.
Wait, why are you against... I guess the ultimate question is, why do you think you're too good for pizza?
I mean, just because it's a low food.
Right.
And it doesn't – I mean, it rarely contains any truffle.
Personally.
Which I need to live as a member of the literati. I need to ingest my weight in truffle every day.
I bet you there's all kinds of pizzas within a mile of here filled with truffles.
I probably could get – yeah, yeah.
The only thing I've ever eaten besides pizza is beer bread. That's just an FYI.
Sure.
But I guess that's the kind of guy I am. I'm just a regular Joe.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a real lunch pail Frankie.
Liz, what do you eat? I eat only truffle and truffle oil.
I eat from the five food groups, which is pizza, beer bread, truffle oil.
Wow.
Condiments.
Right.
And just like a handful of relish.
Come up with another one.
Crunchy food. Crunchy. Anything crunchy that you can put milk in. Cereal.
So, yeah,
that's
cereal.
Remind me, Liz, what were those food groups again?
That's pizza, beer bread, truffle oil, condiments, and cereal.
Right. Crunchy food.
More crunchy foods.
Crunchy foods.
Usually cereal, but it can also involve, it can be a
Yeah, that's the
something.
Food pyramid.
Right.
Yeah.
So Liz is doing like a high-low thing.
Sure.
That's how you get on Oprah, by the way.
Right, yeah.
Well, I get the vitamin D from the truffle oil.
Yeah.
It's just for nutrition.
Yeah.
You read comics, but you call them graphic novels.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's a high-low,
high-low.
Classic high-low thing.
I get that.
I got it. We have any more calls? There's a two-call week this week on Jordan Jesse Go. If you've got a call, 206-984-4FUN, 206-984-4FUN. You can also email us at jjgo@maximumfun.org. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host a comedy podcast about parenting where we remind you that despite what the internet says,
no one really cares what kind of parent you are.
One bad mother. We're the friends with kids you want to hang out with.
Check us out on iTunes and MaximumFun.org. La, la, la,
la, la, la, la, la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Liz Gilbert, I forgot. There's a third one. Wait, I got it. Unnamed source close to the president. Yeah. Whenever you see that.
That's really good.
In the paper, that's me.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I knew you were getting a lot of press.
That's why people call you sourcey. Yeah.
It doesn't advance my brand because I'm unnamed.
Yeah.
But it's my duty. It's my patriotic duty.
So I have some things to say about Elizabeth Gilbert here.
Uh-oh.
Number one. Elizabeth was kind enough to pressure her publisher into hiring MaximumFun.org to produce a podcast surrounding issues related to her book, Big Magic. We produced this podcast. I'm very proud of it, and I think it is really, really cool, and you should go and subscribe to it and check it out. Basically, on the show, Liz talks to somebody who's, you know, loves her books and whatnot about a challenge that they're facing around their creativity, and not only like shares her own wisdom, but also consults with people that she admires. There's a list of amazing people that she admires that she consulted with for the show in order to give them really lovely and sincerely inspirational advice. I've been very insincere on this episode, but sincerely inspirational advice. And Liz is as pleasant and funny as she is inspirational on the show. So you should go and subscribe to that podcast. And in addition, Liz is on book tour.
Should we tell them what it's called?
No.
We'll leave it to you guys. It's on
Solve
it's on
the
Porn
Miss
MD.
People Love. Yeah, it's one of the scrolling terms.
You'll know it when you see it.
It's called Nacho.
Sure, yeah. Snake Crawls in Pussy.
Oh, my God. Please, can we change the name of the podcast?
Publishers. Oh, my God. Seeds control of it. Well, first things first.
Now I have full artistic control over my new hit podcast, Snake Crawls and Pussy.
Hello, graphic designer Stefan Lawrence. I'm going to need a new logo.
What's your creative problem?
Okay, so that's...
Not enough snakes in your pussy?
Oh, no.
That's number one.
Just lay down at the
search
pet store.
For Big Magic or Liz Gilbert in your iTunes or whatever you use, and you'll find it there.
It's called Magic Lessons.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Big Magic, but you'll find
but
it.
But you'll find it there.
Yeah.
And that's thing number one. Thing number two is Liz's book is super, super awesome. And like for people who are interested in, a lot of times people talk to me about my like make your thing type stuff. Like we have a lot of creative people of various stripes, both professional, semi-professional, and amateur in our audience. I know I've met people at shows and Max FunCon, and we hear about the kind of stuff you do. It is a really wonderful book about how to, you know, how to get at that stuff, you know, and how to unlock it. And Liz is on book tour all the way through the entire month of November.
Yeah.
So if you live in a town
or a country
Liz will be there. And you should go see Liz speak, because as anyone who's ever seen one of the many if you're one of the literally millions of people who've seen her speak online or on Oprah or whatever, like it's a very inspirational, motivational, and fascinating as well, stimulating thing to see. And she's a nice lady. And you can say some kind of Jordan Jesse Go thing to her and she'll think it's cool.
Is there a Q&A?
At the events?
Yeah.
Oh, always.
So, yeah, I think. Just if you're out there,
God,
raise your hand
and
ask Liz what her favorite porn MD search term is.
Oh, that would make me so happy.
Do it. Oh. And just confuse everyone else in the room.
Oh.
Somebody just raises their hand and says, Liz, is Torsi a horse? That's something from My Brother and My Brother and Me. Liz was kind enough to share farm wisdom on My Brother and Me.
Oh. I have a lot of farm wisdom.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I grew up on a farm. My farm wisdom's all about goats.
Is there just – I mean, gosh. Yeah.
It actually really is.
Don't leave your cans unattended.
Yeah, exactly.
That's number one.
Well, they had – I had told them – I said I first came to know them because I had sent a tweet about farm wisdom saying, if you feed poison ivy to your goat, you will get immunity to poison ivy if you drink the goat's milk, which turned into this huge bit that I think ended in Griffin saying, if you feed your passport to a goat, do you get diplomatic immunity? Which
that's
like
good.
Top five of my favorite things anyone's ever
that's
said.
Really funny.
Thank
so
you to the
good.
McElroys, really by the funny. Way, for hosting our show last week.
Yeah.
The funniest guys in the world.
The mm-hmm. best. The
yeah.
best.
And the kindest hearted, most wonderful dudes ever. But Liz.
Yes, honey.
ElizabethGilbert.com, LizGilbert.com. Where's the book tour?
It doesn't matter. ElizabethGilbert.com.
MagicLessons.org.
.ca. It's not Canadian.
Magic. I have Cheryl Strayed's phone number .net.
It's ElizabethGilbert.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
One true best friend to rule them all, Elizabeth Gilbert. Thank you
gosh.
For coming on our show, Liz. Thank you for taking your day off on your grueling touring schedule to hang out with us dumbos.
There is sincerely, to use the word of the show, nowhere else I would rather be than right here. So thank you, guys.
If you have something to tell us, 206-984-4FUN is the number to call. If you want to share something about the show on Twitter, hashtag JJGo. We're all up in the Reddits at MaximumFun.reddit.com where you can discuss the show with fellow enthusiasts and all the Max Fun shows. It is a really wonderful, supportive, awesome community over there on that Reddit and on Facebook. You look for the Maximum Fun group on Facebook and there will be a thread about this episode. You can chat about it there. Both of those are really great. Jordan's on Twitter at Jordan_Morris. I'm at Jesse Thorne, our producer. Sonny D, Brian Fernandez, the man, the myth, the legend. By the time this comes out, he may be a married man.
Mm.
Congratulations to Brian and Lauren.
Have fun losing that V card, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Punching that V card?
Punching the V card?
Just misplacing that.
I don't think you're supposed to punch it.
You got to call the bank and tell them to shut it off.
You know, if you feed your V card to a goat and drink the milk.
Sure, yeah. You're immune to virginity.
Hey, Brian, I got a gift for you that I think is going to come in handy on your wedding night.
Mm.
It's a set of ledgers from MaximumFun.org. You can take a look at. Okay, congratulations to Brian and Lauren, a lovely couple. Lauren is a kind, smart, and beautiful woman as well as a hell of a second baseman. So congratulations to them. We're so happy for them, and what a great thing. And that's it. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Bye.
Take a little time for the kids within you. Come on, don't child, be afraid of the kids. I am a kid, and these are the kids, and all of us are kids, and young you. Give a little child for the child, and child, and give a little child, and the child don't win. Don't be afraid of the kids, they're coming. Here come the kids, and they're fighting.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.